Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm Big Waz, a.k.a. Wozny Lambre, joined as always by my partner in crime, Nando Vila. What's going on, brother?
Not much. I'm happy to be recording with you while you're in this undisclosed location. The secret lair, your lighting is dark and mysterious. It's unclear where you are, listen, but I don't think we want to tell secret. Anyone.
The whole world knows I'm at the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas right now.
I got to hook you up. My buddy is the director of international marketing at the Cosmopolitan. If you need anything.
Oh my God.
He basically entertains high rollers from all over the world, like Chinese billionaires and Russians and shit. So he's got access to all kinds of things out there in Vegas.
You tell me this on my last night? Oh,
I didn't know you were at the Cosmo. I knew you were in Vegas. If I would have known you were at the Cosmo, I would have hooked it up. But next time we'll do a Woke Bros. We'll do a Woke Bros field trip out to the Cosmopolitan.
We got to.
We'll record from there.
the company was pretty flexible about what hotel I could stay at. And I was like, the food at the Cosmo is so ridiculous. I can't stay anywhere else. I need to be within a quick walk of Nashville Hot Chicken. They got the crazy sandwich spot, of course, STK. You know, just David Chang is all over this place. It's just, it's an amazing, amazing food destination in this city.
I think as of like a few years ago, the Marquee at Cosmopolitan was the most profitable nightclub in America.
Wow.
And that thing's like a machine, a money-making machine. I mean, it's funny when Vegas became more of a nightclub town than a gambling town.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. They make more profits now almost off like those
DJs, the pool parties and the club stuff. It's, you know, but my first time here was like 2009, I think, or 2010. Yeah. So by that time, it was all about nightclubs. DJ AM was the biggest thing ever at the time. I was blessed enough to see him perform at the Palms. It had already been fully co-opted by nightlife industry. I don't know anything about old Vegas and the mob and, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah. The glory days when the mob used to run Vegas instead of like billionaire plutocrats.
Instead of hedge funds. Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's more dangerous.
I know. It's so funny. It's like, oh, it's so much. We clean the town up. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, on today's show, we haven't done world football talk in a very long time. So the biggest news in God knows how long, basically since the Super League, the biggest news since the Super League, flamed out in complete failure, Lionel Messi changed teams. He's now part of PSG. He's left Barcelona for the first time since he was 14 or 12 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, 11 or 12 when he first signed for Barcelona. Yeah.
So we're going to get into that. But, you know, first, we do got to get into the rise and the sweet, sweet, sweet fall of one Andrew Cuomo. This guy is a legacy politician. We mentioned this before on the show, but Mario Cuomo is a legend in New York. Andrew Cuomo's dad, a guy who people consider to be an actual progressive dude, right? Like, he was kind of a rock star in the Democratic Party, gave speeches at, national conventions, sort of, you know, they were begging him to run for president at one point. Mm. The guy is, his dad was legitimately a political legend within Democratic Party circles. And, you know, Andrew Cuomo rode that wave into the biggest neoliberal shill scrub that may have ever existed in New York politics. And ultimately, he was brought down by a sex scandal and no longer having any friends within the party. It's kind of crazy to watch him go from everybody's favorite COVID-19 zaddy to writing a book about how incredible he was at COVID-19 to resignation, to literally everybody turning against him and saying, Cuomo, you're done.
Andrew Cuomo was probably the most powerful New Yorker since probably Nelson Rockefeller, but maybe even Robert Moses. I mean, this is Ross Barkin, the journalist who is probably the best journalist to cover New York politics these days to read if you check out his work. He made the point that Andrew Cuomo was more powerful than any New Yorker probably since either Moses or Rockefeller. Nothing happened in New York without Andrew Cuomo allowing it to happen. He was the king of New York in a very real sense. And it's interesting because he created this kind of aura of impregnability, like this unimpeachable sense that he was untouchable, that no one could get to him, and that he could destroy anyone he wanted. Like, you know, mayors like Bill de Blasio came in and they were like, oh shit, I'm going to be the little mayor of New York, the most powerful, biggest city in America. That's great. Like, I'm going to be able to do all this good stuff. And Andrew Cuomo was like, no. You don't do anything unless I allow you to do it. And this created a lot of friction between him and Bill de Blasio. And every time they faced off, Andrew Cuomo would win because he was just that powerful. And it really wasn't until some guy, a guy named Ron Kim, a state assemblyman, just called him out on his bullshit. It was just like, Andrew Cuomo is going down for sexual harassment. But the thing that really got the ball rolling was that Andrew Cuomo, at the beginning of the pandemic, made a policy decision to allow positive COVID patients from hospitals to re-enter nursing homes, which probably killed at least 15,000 people unnecessarily, a fact that he then tried to cover up. And then when Ron Kim figured this out, he was like, I'm going to tell people about this. And Andrew Cuomo called him. He's like, I will fucking end you. Like a mafia boss. Like, I will fucking end you. I will end your life. And Ron Kim's like, shut the fuck up, man. I'm going to do it anyway. And he went and talked. And that was just like, once that aura of like, I'm the fucking boss, like that kind of mafia boss image was just cracked by one guy, the dominoes started falling. Everything started falling out of place. Cuomo's going to go down for the sexual harassment, and the sexual harassment is bad, don't get me wrong, but I find it interesting that that's what's taking him down and not the fact that he killed probably tens of thousands of elderly New Yorkers with his just disastrous COVID response, which, as you pointed out, was celebrated by liberals as like this fucking like he's our fucking daddy. Like there's a clip of Jada Pinkett Smith going like, I'm gonna turn on my celebrity crush right now. I can't wait to see the every day press conference, Andrew Cuomo, he's my celebrity crush. I'm gonna turn on the TV and watch it. And it's like, are you people like, do you people like not know anything? I remember we did a show about this, like,
yeah,
was it like 8 months ago where we were like, mm-hmm. How is anyone buying this shit? It's so fucking obvious.
Cuomo and sucks. So it's, and mind it you, sucks. As he was doing that, it's worth pointing out that he was cutting funds to Medicaid. He cut funds to Medicaid in the midst of a global pandemic that hasn't been seen since the Spanish flu, bro.
Yeah.
Bubonic plague. That's the last time we've seen a pandemic of this scale. And this motherfucker cut funding to Medicaid smack dab in the middle of it. Then, like you said, the nursing home scandal, then had the good fortune to write a book about how awesome he was at COVID and to won a fucking Emmy. They invented
the fucking category. They invented the fucking category just for his stupid fucking press conferences that live where he just like pulled out a chart. He's like, look at the numbers. They're going up. And I think we're going to be very resilient because we're New Yorkers. And, you know, New York is just a special place. Number one city in the world. Go Yankees, go Mets. You know, like and liberals are like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. The Emmy Academy or whatever, the National Association that gives out the fucking Emmys was like, the president was like, we felt compelled to create this category for him because, you know, essentially Andrew Cuomo was producing a new form of television with these press conferences. They're like a new form. Like he's like, and it's like, oh my God, you people have like the lowest bar ever for your politicians. Like it's just,
they're a joke. They're a joke. Sad freaking joke. And yeah, and so, and look, like you said, the sexual allegations, harassment allegations are bad. That's horrible, right? But it's so stupid that this is what they finally get this guy on when, again, that nursing home situation should sink anybody because it's literally the job of being governor is coming up with these kind of policies and, you know, shaping the way this stuff is handled in such a way that people don't get hurt. And this guy did the opposite of that and then tried to cover it up. And again, incompetence should have been the reason why this guy had to resign, but it wasn't. It was like this fake Me Too shit that, you know, liberals love so much. And that's not to minimize the horrible workplace environment that this guy created for women and everybody who worked with him. Of course, that's horrible. And, you know, the line where he's like, you know, I'm not grabby, I'm just Italian or something, whatever he said that was just gross and stupid, is horrible. There's no two ways about it. But make no mistake, this guy was bad at his job, right? It's one thing when people have these sharp elbows and they're quote unquote very ambitious, and they're doing this stuff while also getting like people stuff done too. You know, that's how somebody like Jimmy Hoffa can operate in the way that he did for so long, is that, yeah, he was corrupt as all hell, but guess what? He made gains for his workers. Like, there were gains made, and those guys, that union was fucking powerful, and the members didn't get pushed around by the bosses. Yes, he skimmed off the top. Yes, he gave shady loans to mobsters to build casinos. Yes, all of that stuff fucking happened. But guess what? The members of that union saw actual tangible gains under his leadership. That wasn't fucking Andrew Cuomo, guys. This guy did all of the ambitious corruption, greed, corporate givebacks out the fucking ass and did nothing to help anybody in the process. That's the that, and by the way, that's Democratic politics now.
Yeah.
You know, he is the fever dream of Democratic politics. It's go on TV, say these fucking useless bromides, pretend to be helping people, be wholly bought and corrupt in real life, and do nothing in between for your constituents and the people who basically put you in power. That's the fucking ideal Democrat.
Yeah,
you don't get better at Democratic politics than Andrew fucking Cuomo.
Well, there's so many layers to this, but I think you're right that the last year of Andrew Cuomo, like if you take that timeline, the spectacular rise and fall, it, as a national politician, right? Because he's been around New York forever, but like as a national politician, he really became known in the last year. And it's been the perfect cycle, right? And it is the perfect distillation of what the Democratic Party is and liberalism in America is, which is purely a stylistic affectation, right? They don't believe in anything really, you know? And when push comes to shove, they'll sell out all their fucking, like, in theory, things that they care about because they don't really believe in anything. It's not a coherent ideology the way you and I have was. And we have, like, you know, principles and commitments and all that stuff.
Of course.
To them, it's a purely stylistic affectation, which is why they loved a guy like Cuomo, especially in a time of Trump, in which Trump offended them more than George W. Bush, for example, offended them, right? Like, think about the way liberals rehabilitated George W. Bush because it was purely a stylistic thing. Like, how many times did liberals say, like, I miss George Bush? And it's like, listen, outside of, like, the stylistic differences between Bush and Trump, in which Bush could cosplay as a president more effectively than Trump, I get it. You know, he wasn't, like, such an obvious buffoon, even though at the time everyone made fun of him for how stupid he was. The fact is that the George W. Bush presidency, in concrete, substantive terms, was, like, I would say maybe 20 like or 30 times worse.
Worse.
Yeah. Like, not like, twice as bad. It was, like, change the world probably forever for the worse in a way that the Trump presidency just did not. He just did not. Like, he didn't do anything really.
He didn't.
He didn't do much. He just did a tax cut.
In the office. Yeah. You know, he made foreign dignitaries stay at his hotel so he could get paid off of it.
Yeah.
Which again, how is that any worse than Dick Cheney and Halliburton?
Yeah. It's nowhere near as bad.
When you
they started a war over that
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, they were corrupt and lined their pockets too, but they killed people in the process of doing it.
Yeah.
You can't say that about Donald Trump, but whatever. It's George Bush, like you said, he had a nice enough affectation that Ellen could have laughs with him at a Cowboys game and Michelle Obama could share blow pops with him. And it's great. And it's fucking great because what?
They love it.
Because he wasn't caught on camera saying grab him by the pussy. That, you know, he's not as nice. He's less prickly, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the 600,000 dead Iraqis don't fucking mean anything to these fucking people. So they don't care. But again, Cuomo is, that's what liberalism is. He's the perfect liberal. Perfect liberal. And, you know.
Even the way he went down, right?
Right.
It's
bullshit.
Again, it's not to minimize the sexual harassment. Like, we don't support sexual harassment on this show. Right. You know, like, especially in the workplace, especially of when course. You're such a powerful guy. But the fact that that's what took him down over the myriad awful shit that he did, not just throughout his entire tenure as governor, because he was a truly, like, heinous political figure. But just in the past year, specifically with COVID, like you talked about, like the nursing home debacle, the fucking cover up. I mean, it's one thing. Like at the, I'm willing to be generous that if when COVID first hit, we didn't know much about it. It must have been hard for people in positions of power to make decisions on the fly, and mistakes were going to be made. The problem is, like, if you don't own up to it, and you try to fucking cover it up, you try to lie about it, you try to manipulate the numbers, say that they were, you're just, that is unacceptable. But he went down for the Me Too stuff. And, but that is in a way, I mean, I'll take it because I fucking hate Andrew Cuomo and I'm glad to see him have his comeuppance.
Politically, he's done.
Yeah. You know, it was funny. We were joking with Mike Racine yesterday on the Sopranos pod that he's like, you know, we're never going to get to see an Italian president because he'll always get dinged for sexual harassment.
Yo, and the funny thing, I'm glad you mentioned that because it seems like so long ago that Bernie was kicking ass and taking names in the Democratic primary. And the fucking libs were like, yo, Joe's getting his ass kicked. Do you think we can shoehorn Andrew Cuomo in because he's so fucking popular on TV right now? They wanted this fucking guy. They wanted to shoehorn into that situation because obviously he stands, he more is in line with liberalism and the Democratic Party establishment than Bernie Sanders, who wants to see people have fucking health care and don't go into debt because they want to become a fucking accountant one day. It's hilarious.
That Bakari Sellers, who is the number two guy in the House or number three guy in the House after Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, you know, just an awful, awful, just neoliberal, disgusting Democrat. He had that tweet, you know, at the height of Cuomo's popularity that he'll never live down where he's like, and y'all almost had Cynthia Dixon. That's why experience matters. And like, this is like what's so frustrating about being on the left is because liberals don't know anything. They don't know anything. They like don't know anything. And they're super annoying and they don't know anything. And we're like always right about the big picture political stuff.
Of course.
We're like, we have the correct analysis from a political standpoint. But because all these people care about his style and, you know, all that shit, then it doesn't matter. So they're like, they see Andrew Cuomo on TV. He's like, look, you see, look what we have. We have an experienced hand at the till, you know, instead y'all could have had that dumb lesbian actress, Cynthia Nixon from fucking Sex and the City. And it's like, you guys don't know anything. You guys just don't like, you guys don't know anything. and you know, like, and that's why like you got liberals keep on getting their fucking, like all the people that they invest all this shit into, like, They invest so much into because they're just empty vessels, stylistic empty vessels that they can project anything onto them, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Andrew Cuomo or whomever. They just make them out to these people that they clearly are not because they can't look at anything outside of the most superficial way. Like they look at Bernie versus Hillary and they see an old white man and like an accomplished woman. And that's like all they can see, you know, instead of like any actual substantive differences in their worldview, their political base, their instincts in times of crisis, all that shit that doesn't matter to them at all. All they see is the most bare superficial thing. And that's how they base their political decisions, you know? And until we kind of change that, we're just going to be stuck in this cycle where we're just investing into the latest awful, you know, like I don't want to compare them to, Stacey Abrams was someone we've talked about on this show, but there's something going on there in that they have this weird libidinal sexual attraction to these kind of political figures who demonstrate a bare minimum of competence, right? Like there was the whole Cuomo sexual thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where like women were like, I want him to just fuck me so fucking bad like doing those press conferences, you know? And like Liz Whittaker in the New Yorker just wrote a long piece describing like the libidinal sexual appeal of someone like Andrew Cuomo and why we were mistaken and all this shit. And like, I've seen like liberal men like on Twitter talking about like my wife just caught me jacking off to Stacey Abrams. She wasn't even mad. She like joined in or whatever. And I'm like, what are you people? Like, what is wrong with you people? You know, like, all.
Listen, Stacey Abrams might as well be motherfucking Mother Teresa at this point.
Yeah.
To liberals, like you can't say a damn thing about Stacey Abrams. She's the greatest of all time, and realistically, she's just another corporate Dem. God bless her. she's advancing in her career. She's made herself important in Democratic Party circles. And the establishment is like, yo, basically like she's a fucking meat shield for anything they want to fucking do. So, and that has value when you can be that person. But goddamn, give me a break. Come on. Yeah. Stacey Abrams, like, Jesus.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned Mother Teresa, who's another person that liberals like love. And if you look beyond the surface of Mother Teresa, that's a whole other show. We'll have Ben Burgess to you know, I know he was on when I was gone, but Ben Burgess can give the whole breakdown on the real Mother Teresa because he's been doing a lot of research into Christopher Hitchens, and he wrote the big takedown of Mother Teresa. So yeah, we'll do a whole special show. I'm sure the people are curious to know what the hell is up with Mother Teresa. But yeah, I mean, that's and again, I didn't want to like compare Stacey Abrams to Cuomo in the sense that they, you know, she hasn't done as objective amount of harm as Andrew Cuomo has done, but she also hasn't done anything that great. And liberals like think she's the fucking second coming of Jesus Christ. But not just that, but like they have like a sexual attraction to her in a sort of weird way. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Like it's all at the surface. It's all operating at the surface. Like no one can look just beneath and see what's actually like, what is actually substantively going on with that person. It's all just like they like what she represents, and that's all that matters.
Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. When things break down around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Nothing. I was just tired. I'm just stressed a little bit. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? Take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. And if you do, you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, if you get started today, you'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment.
And so, you know, we move on from the fall of Andrew Cuomo to fucking Messi, man. He leaves Barcelona, leaves La Liga. Legendary run at Barcelona. It's hard to argue that anybody's ever had as much success on one club as Lionel Messi has had at Barcelona. Like, individual success, team success, like, it's just been wins, okay? They won so much they got tired of winning, Nando, as Donald Trump would say. And he finally got the fuck up out of there and is now at PSG. He didn't take our oil money at Man City, unfortunately, but he is at PSG. And man, talk to the people about how this, because this shit blew up like overnight, essentially. Yeah. There was a thought that he was signing a 5-year deal to stay in Barcelona. I guess everybody had his, you know, kumbaya moment and we're staying and they empowered his guy and all of this shit. And then just like that, he was gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, like you said, it's hard to overstate the effect that Messi has had on a single club. I read a stat that Messi has scored or assisted 10% of all of Barcelona's goals ever.
Jesus.
You know? That's you crazy. Know, like in the That's entire 100 and Barcelona That's was founded insane. In 1899.
That's
you know?
Insane. That's insane. Yeah. That is fucking insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so what happened was that Barcelona, largely, I mean, I don't want to put the blame on Messi, but because of the fact that they had Messi on their team, Messi's contract is something that is hard to describe to people. He probably made last year twice as much as the next person, you know, in terms of salary. I mean, he was one of the reasons why Cristiano Ronaldo left Real Madrid is because Cristiano Ronaldo knew how much Messi was making at Barcelona. And he was like, listen, man, I keep on winning Ballon d'Ors against him, and he's making twice as much as I am. Like, I want to get paid close to that. And Madrid's like, no, we can't afford it. You got to go. And so because Messi's contract was so huge, the other players on the team since they were pegging their salaries kind of to his, the entire wage bill was just way out of control at Barcelona. They spent more on their wages than any other sports club in the world. And the problem, what happened was that they were okay. They could kind of make it work when everything was working great, but they've had a couple bad seasons and they missed out on some Champions League money. You know, like when you get farther, the farther you get on the Champions League, the more money you make from like as bonuses, but also from TV money and things like that, and the stadium money. And then the pandemic hit, you know, and the pandemic caught them with their pants down. And with the drastic reduction in club income as a result of the pandemic, their massive wage bill was just completely unsustainable, and they had no way of getting it under control. Like La Liga states that your wage bill can only be 70% of whatever revenue you bring in. To oversimplify it, but that's basically it. With Messi's contract on like the books as like what they have right now, they had 110%. You know, their wages were more than they actually brought in revenue. So without Messi's contract, they've only gotten it down to 95. So they still need to get it down to 70 to be able to register their new signings. They signed four players. It's just like, that's the other crazy thing, is they signed four fucking players this summer. Memphis Depay, they signed Sergio Agüero from Man City, mostly to encourage Messi to stay because they're best friends. They signed Eric Garcia from Manchester City, and they signed another guy named Emerson from Betis. And they can't even register them into the league, and the league starts this weekend. They haven't registered them. They're not on the team officially. Like, they're practicing, but they can't play because their wage bill is just way too out of control.
Right.
And so Messi was being told by the club, in which there's a new administration at the club, the old administration, who's largely responsible for this insane situation, was out. A new one came in, and they were like, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It's Messi. We'll figure it out. Like, La Liga will work with us. You know, money was going to come from somewhere, and right, we'll figure it out. And then what they tried to do was like, okay, Messi, how about we do this? You take a 50% pay cut, and then what we'll do is we promise we'll pay you back down the road,
in perpetuity,
even when you're not playing.
We'll pay you forever, which is,
you'll be the club ambassador for
rumors that teams do these kind of wink-wink deal with players, that maybe Mark Cuban has something in place like that with Dirk Nowitzki, and there's rumors that
Dwayne Wade,
with the Heat. There's rumors that teams do this with guys that are their guys that have been around for a while. Like, the payment's going to be deferred, but we'll get you the money.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. We got ways that we can pay you even when you're no longer here. And so they tried to come up with that, and Messi was like, nah, I'm Lionel Messi. I don't do pay cuts and stuff like that.
So in his press conference, in his goodbye press conference with Barcelona, he said that he had accepted a 50% pay cut. I've heard from people that that's like fibbing a little bit. It's like, you take a pay cut this season, but they're not, you know, the overall contract is going to be paid. You know, at some point, and La Liga was like, you can't do that. Like, that's just not how that works. You know, like, you just can't do that. So it's fucking crazy, man. So then all of a sudden, Messi, who was a free agent, he couldn't be registered into the team, even if he had agreed to play for €1, because they still have to get to 70% to register.
Their bill
any
is too massive, right?
It's too massive. And of course, no one wants to leave, because there's no money anywhere, you know, because the COVID pandemic hit everyone.
Everybody spent already, right? Like, Man City, who he was closely tied to, brought in two big money players in the offseason. Yeah. Like, they've already used their allocated Messi money because they thought that deal was done. They thought it was over. Yeah. And so all of the big spenders had already used what was left. And then, you know, PSG came in and said, no, we still got a little bit left under the mattress.
Yeah. Yeah, we still got some oil money lying around, you know. there's there's always money in the banana stand. But yeah, this is a problem that like Madrid's facing a little bit. Madrid like was more responsible in their wages, and like they didn't give out any crazy contracts. I mean, they still have Gareth Bale on the books for like a big contract, but he's going to be off the books next year. And they just don't have the same problem, but they can't offload anyone because no one's buying players outside of PSG and Man City. You know, and Man United a little bit, but not as much as other teams. Like, no one's buying players. So, like, as every team is trying to offload contracts, especially of these aging players, no one wants them. Like, Barcelona has a guy named Samuel Umtiti, who's a center back, who basically hasn't played in, like, two seasons because of injuries, who makes more than Antoine Griezmann, you know, who's, like, a star signing. It's insane. And they have all these other guys, like, you know, Jordi Alba has a huge contract for what he is. Busquets, who's like a legend at the club, also has a huge contract and he's aging. And like, you know, Miralem Pjanic, these guys who are like scrubs have massive, massive contracts and they just can't offload them because no one has any money. Like outside of PSG, but they only have so many players that they could buy at any given time.
At a certain point, even within, you know, the loose rules, because like Americans are used to these ironclad salary structures in the NFL and even the NBA to a certain extent, right? And, you know, the collective bargaining agreements of those two sports, you literally have to be a lawyer to understand the rules and the strictures and and this shit is ironclad, okay? Yeah. Like the way the salary payout structure are in American sports, it's not really like that in soccer. We're to the point where, you know, Barcelona's like, no, we're gonna figure it out with La Liga. We're gonna figure out how to bring back the greatest player of all time. Just figure it out on the fly. Like that's not something we've planned for 5 years to get done to make sure it was perfect because this guy's so important. We're just gonna figure it out, and it turned out that they couldn't. And so now he's in PSG in that god-awful fucking French league. It's awful. Yeah. I mean, it's awful. I'm going to look forward to see what they do in Champions League, of course. That's going to be fun. They're going to be obviously the favorite in the Champions League. But, like, it sucks that he's just going to be playing MLS-level competition every single week in that terrible league.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be so weird to see PSG, which also signed Sergio Ramos, the captain of Madrid. So it's like the captain of Madrid and the captain of Barcelona in the same summer are joining a fucking French team, right. You know? And it's hard to describe to someone who doesn't follow soccer that closely. I mean, you think France is like the second largest country in Europe after Germany, certainly in continental Europe. Why don't they have a better league? And, you know, the reasons are myriad, but like the French league is like several notches below the Premier League, certainly La Liga, even Serie A, even the German league. So like
Bundesliga the French league is probably the fucking French league.
Of course, like the French league is probably the fifth league in terms of overall quality of play of stuff, which is like, you know, that's a significant drop off from the highest level. Like imagine if like the NFL is the highest level and then imagine five levels below that, right. You know? And it's just like, you're seeing some of the best players in the world. Like, cause right now PSG has a forward line of Messi, Neymar and Mbappe and that's Di Maria insane. As backup if necessary.
That's, you know? Insane.
Yeah. That's with Sergio Ramos leading the back.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, Sergio Ramos leading the back. They just signed, Italy just won the Euro Cup. Their starting goalkeeper who had the big saves in they just signed him. He's their goalkeeper. You know, like, they're stacked at every position. One of the problems in the Champions League that they always face is that because they are not facing the week-in, week-out competition the way other teams are facing, where they're just like, they have to be at the highest level, like, ever, every week, it's hard to turn it on when you need to in the Champions League, which is played every 2-3 months. It's very hard to maintain that competitive edge when you're playing fucking Nantes or Metz or fucking Gingon like or whatever this, fucking bullshit
no
team.
Fucking, remember when Leicester City had their miracle run a few years ago? There's no Leicester City happening in the fucking French league. That is an impossibility.
Although Lille won the league last year, which is crazy.
Right.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, PSG did it, yeah.
But, you know, again, I was hoping to see him in England because I think that would have just been incredible to see him in.
It would have been crazy. It would have been bananas.
Insane had he gone to England. Who knows how long this experiment happens at PSG. Maybe he'll end up back in Barcelona. Who fucking knows?
But they don't need money.
Yeah, they're done. They're done.
Like the rumors now is that Madrid are that Mbappe doesn't want to play on a team with Messi and Neymar because he's going to be very overshadowed. And, you know, obviously Messi and Neymar are probably better than Mbappe right now, but Mbappe is like 21 years old and Messi's 34. I mean, he still scored 30 goals in league last year with like, I think 10 assists, which is just bananas numbers for anyone, but he's 34 years old. You know, he's, you know, he's not, no spring chicken. And so the rumors are if Mbappe forces a move out to Madrid this summer, if not, he's definitely going to sign for Madrid on a free transfer, which is also crazy next year as a free agent.
So we'll get Mbappe in Spain. And so at least we'll get, you know, something decent comes out of this. We'll get Mbappe in a real fucking league for once.
In a real league, yeah.
And, you see know, what he Messi can do. Could go play with the fucking garbage men and mechanics that are in the French league. Anyway, that's our show for this week, guys. I'm going to be on vacation for the next 2 weeks.
Shit, son.
Yeah. I'm going to New York on Sunday from New York. We're going to Columbia for a bachelor party. And then I'm coming back to New York to spend a few more days just because I haven't done the East Coast all summer. And, you know, New York City in the summertime is just a magical place.
Producer Sean and I hung out in Columbia once. I've been to Columbia many times. If you need any recs, any advice.
We'll talk before August 20th, which is the date of my trip. But, yeah, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys soon. We're out of here. Peace.
Later.